Last Sunday, we talked about God honoring dreams, and really we're asking the question, are the things that we're dreaming about big enough? Are the things we're dreaming about God enough? I know when we talk about dreams, we're really not talking about the sleepy kind of dreams or the dreams I have in the middle of the night necessarily. Although that's included, I'm not discounting that. I've had what I feel like are dreams from God that happen in my sleep and wake up very cognizant, very aware, realizing that God has just communicated something to me. But we're also talking about the aspirational kind of dreams, dreams that are born out of our imagination, the things that we almost daydream about. I can tell you without question that just standing up here, what I'm doing today is dreams come true in my life. I used to spend hours and hours not asleep, but just dreaming. I would lay in bed late at night and just dream about doing ministry or traveling to far reaches in the world and seeing crusades and seeing thousands of people give their lives to the Lord or incredible miracles. And I've literally seen those things happen, the things that I dreamed of, the things that I imagined were possible. And those are the kind of dreams that we're talking about today because we want you to dream again. Maybe things have woken you up, as we talked about last week. Some of the challenges of life, some of the views that we have of life and of ourself and of God. Maybe they keep us from really dreaming with faith or imagination that God could do big things. We read last week Proverbs 29 and 18, and I want you to see this again because it's really a foundational verse for what we're talking about in this series. But he said, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend, or when they give their attention to, when they focus in on what God is revealing, that is when their lives are most blessed. Because if we can't see, then we are in trouble. I've known blind people, and it's amazing how they learn and adapt and find ways to live a successful life and a fruitful life. I can't imagine being without sight. In the natural, that would be an incredible disadvantage or disability, if you will. I'm sure any of us would learn how to function without it in the natural, but to be blind spiritually or to be in a position that I cannot see spiritually, that I have no vision for my life, that is so limiting, that is so debilitating. That is so defeating if I cannot see. That's what the Bible said in another version. Without vision, people perish. People literally die. They die on the inside. They die mentally. They die emotionally when they do not have vision for their life. But if we put our attention on the right things, if we focus in on the things that God has revealed for our lives. We just need to know what it is that God has revealed. Some of us do not know that. Some of us are not clear on that. What is it that God is revealing for my life? And it begs the question today, what are you focused on right now? At this stage in your life, in this season of your life, what are you focused on? Another verse that we talked about last Sunday was Acts 2 and 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And I think we need to key in, and we will just a little more today, on that phrase, in the last days. Because he said that there is something that's going to trigger more dreams and more visions. There's a specific period of time that's going to ramp up or hasten or quicken this idea of dreams and visions. He said it's going to happen in the last days. And hear me, if there was ever a time that we needed to see clearly through the things of the Spirit, it is this time. If there was ever a day that we needed to have really clear vision and really laser sharp focus on what it is that God is doing and what God wants to do, it is right now. You know why? Because things aren't getting easier. Things are not getting better. I know we keep talking, if it was the right politician or if it was the right law enacted or if it was the right this or that, then things would get better. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer today or the discourager today, but hear me. Things really are not going to get better, because that's a sign of the last days. Instead of wishing or lamenting that things are not better, we have to get more prepared, more equipped, and we have to get better at handling what it is that's going on around us. And that's why he said, I need to make sure that you have a vision for your life and that you have a dream about what it is that I want to do through you in this time. Sometimes we think, the longer that we do something, the easier it's supposed to get. And theoretically, that's true. With most things, that is the truth. The more experience you have, the easier things get. We tell our kids all the time, I've been at this a long time. I know what I'm talking about. That's why things look easier for me than they do for you. But when it comes to these spiritual things, we have to be ready. Because the times, they are a-changing. I think I heard a song about that. It's a reality, and we have to be prepared. So we got to have end-time clarity. And there's this small book, obscure book, called Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet. And in those days, they were really called seers more than they were called prophets. They were referred to as seers, S-E-E-R, seers. They're referred to as that because they were people who were gifted, who could see into the future. We're dependent upon them. We read what they said because we know that it was God showing them and allowing them to see these things. So this prophet, when we began reading his book in chapter 1, he is complaining to God. The first few verses of chapter 1, he's upset. He's saying, hey, God, we've got all of this trouble. We have all of these problems. Our world is in a mess, probably like you and I would say, when we're watching the news or reading and catching up on the events of the day. Man, why is God allowing this to happen? What in the world has gone wrong in our world? Why is all of this? These are the things that Habakkuk is saying. And it looks as though you are doing nothing about it, God. And so in verse 5, the Lord answers him. The Lord replied, Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day. I know you're saying everything is falling apart, Habakkuk. I know you see nothing but trouble on every hand, but I am doing something in your own day. Stop wishing you were living at a different time. Stop wishing you could have been born 100 years ago or back in the wagon and buggy days. You were born at this time for this purpose. I am doing something in your own day. Something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I'm moving in incredible ways. I'm raising up the Babylonians. This is modern day Iraq. a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey. On they come, all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind. And princes sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. They scoff, verse 10, at kings and princes and scorn all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. This is the Lord's answer to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is like, yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Everything you just said that they're doing, that's what I'm so frustrated with. That all of this is happening and you're doing nothing. But God is saying, I'm not blind to this. I know this is happening. What I need you to do is get a vision for the role and the part that you're supposed to be playing in this evil world. I need you to see how your life can be a light that shines bright in darkness. I need you to see how your good attitude and your right spirit can make a difference among attitudes that are negative and vile and wrong and immoral. I need you to see how your life, not walking through the crowd with your nose tilted down on the plight of people, but with mercy and grace saying, you know what, listen, the Lord has done so much for me. I just want to tell you about how good he is in my life because he wants to be just as good in your life. He's saying, Habakkuk, I need you and the people to get a vision for the difference that you can make. So here is Habakkuk's answer. Chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I will climb up into my watchtower and I will wait. I'm going to climb up into my watchtower and I will wait. Make sure that goes to the screens, please. I want them to follow. I'm going to climb up. I'm going to get up above. I'm going to get up higher. That's what a vision is. I'm going to go to a higher place so that I can look out and see big picture. I'm going to climb up and I'm going to wait. I'm going to do some spiritual things that elevate me and lift me up and pick me up out of the everyday fussings and fightings and failings. I'm going to get up in a higher place. I'm going to go somewhere spiritually, and then I am going to wait. You see how calculated the Lord has been with us the last few weeks. We spent a few weeks talking about deep, getting in a deeper spiritual place, getting out of the shallow waters, getting into deeper waters, because he was preparing us to understand what it means to be deep spiritually. Not deep so you can, you know, get your own parking spot, wear the biggest hat in the congregation, but deep from the standpoint of, hey, my feathers can't be ruffled with foolishness. And you can't get me off track or distract me with that mess that you're talking. I'm in a better place spiritually. And Habakkuk says, if I can get into this watchtower, that's where I will wait. And then he said, I will look to see what the Lord will say. Then the Lord gave me this answer. Write down what I reveal to you so you can read it with a glance. Write this down because I want you to be able to read it. I want you to be able to refer back to it. I want you to return to it so that you can understand what it is I'm saying. King James says, write the vision and make it plain. This is relatable language. Write this down. Write it down so you can read it with a glance. I'm going to do the practical first today. I want to get real practical as far as what this looks like and just pick some things out these verses that Habakkuk is saying that he's going to do, and it's things that you and I can do when we're trying to process what it is that God is saying and how God is speaking to us and the ways that he wants to move in our lives. And I would love for you to take notes today. I'd love for you to type this into your phone or somewhere, because the reality is you're not going to remember it if you don't write it down. Even as good as it's said, or as on purpose, or as timely as it may be, God himself is saying to his prophet, you need to write some things down, because I want you to be able to go back to this. And the first word I want you to write down, there's five of these, I want you to write down the word withdraw. Withdraw. Habakkuk says, I have to withdraw. If I'm going to really hear from God, if I'm going to really truly experience the things of God, I have to withdraw. That means I have to make time for the spiritual in my life. I have to make spiritual things a priority in my life. Now, by way of show of hands, how many people in this room are busy? And it is almost 100%. I see a few retired folks saying, don't even bother me, preacher. I'm enjoying. Yeah, we're busier than we've ever been before. And what has flipped in society, what has changed in society, and I'm not trying to get on to you, not trying to make you feel bad today, it's just a reality. What has happened is everything is more important than the spiritual to us. Everything comes first. Work comes before church. Making more money comes before the things of God. And we have to flip that. He said, look, if you're going to really get a vision, if you're going to dream again, you have to withdraw. You've got to find a way to withdraw daily. You need to withdraw weekly. You need to withdraw annually, because I want you to dream, but all I hear is that you're too tired to dream. You're too busy to have any time to imagine bigger things for God. So what would happen if we would find ways to withdraw daily, weekly, annually? You say, well, Sunday, that's my day to withdraw. I need to challenge you on that. I don't want Sunday to be your only day to withdraw. And for those that are team church, for those that are members, for those that have been at this for a long time, on Sunday we want you to serve. Lord, I really am in here all by myself today. Hallelujah. A table for one, please. I'll be here by myself today all day. Now, Sunday, listen, there's something wrong if I've been coming to the church for years and years and years, and Sunday is still about me. Oh, I got to get to church because I'm barely going to make it if I don't get to church. Wait a minute. Hadn't you been saved for a long time and you're still barely making it? That's not what God intended for us. That's not what God planned for us. So I've got to reprioritize my life. I've got to switch some things up, change some things around so that I can get to church and I can bless other people and see other people's lives change. So I don't want Sunday to be your only time to withdraw. What you'll find is what many people have found. When they serve, they feel like they are being renewed by blessing other people. They feel like because they're making a difference in someone else's life, that a difference is being made in their life. Do I have just one witness from Team Church in this room that would say, I feel that. Sometimes I go home on Sunday tired in my body, but I'm leaping in my spirit because I know the difference that has been made in someone's life. The next word is wait. We need to withdraw and we need to wait. We need to wait. Once I get into position, I need to wait on God. But hear me, waiting has nearly become a cuss word in 2019. We do not like to wait. Whew, we are impatient. We're mad if the burger takes longer than 30 seconds to reach us at the drive-thru. And again, I ask you, why do you want to eat something that was made in 30 seconds? Can't possibly be good for us. But that's our culture. That's our society. We refuse to wait. But hear me, God will not do things in our time. He does things in His time. You can tell God all day long how much the world has changed as if He didn't create it. You can tell God all day long how your boss is impatient and this and that is against you. But He's still going to say, you know what? If you want it to happen, it's going to be in my time and not your time. That's why you have to be willing to wait. Did I not hear the word of the Lord say that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. I'm telling you, if I will wait, if I will get into position and just hold on for a moment, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in my life. But the reality is, time is really the only way He can get our attention. When we really want something, we're willing to wait for it. We're willing to save, we're willing to prepare, we're willing to do what it takes. Can I tell you today that hurry is the enemy of prayer? Can I tell you further that you cannot rush true worship? You can't hasten your way through it. You have to just be patient and wait on the Lord. We have a general time frame that we like for all of this to happen in on a Sunday morning, and our worship team has general parameters that we try to work in. But listen, from beginning to end, we're waiting on God. We're not saying show up at 10 and we're just going to leave whenever we get ready. We're realists. We know that there'd be about two of us. Everybody's got somewhere to be. You've got a schedule. You've got a job. Walden's is only serving till 2:30. And preacher, I'm sorry, I'm not fasting today. So we're always in a hurry. We're not willing to wait. Psalm 62 and 5. Let all that I am wait quietly before God. For my hope is in Him. What does that look like, that waiting quietly? And then you remember Habakkuk said, in his answer back to God, he said, I will look to see what the Lord will say. I'm going to look to see what the Lord will say. Wouldn't you want to say that you're going to hear? You're going to hear what the Lord will say? What do you mean you're going to look to see what the Lord will say? How do I do that? Number three, I need to read God's word. So I'm withdrawing, I'm waiting, and then I'm reading God's word. I need a word from God, Pastor Darrell. Listen, you've got one. In fact, you have 66 books worth of word from God. And if I will start reading the word of God, I'm going to start getting all kinds of illumination and revelation that's new to me for my life. But I have to get back to the Bible, get back to the basics. Stop listening for a voice and start looking for a verse. How does this apply to my life? Where is this? You got preachers out there today that are saying, oh, don't read the Bible, just listen to what I say, because I'm a continuation of the Word of God. You know what? I'm turning you off, sir, ma'am. The Word of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will stand forever. I'm going to look to see what the Lord would say. I'm going to get into the Word of God and study. Here's the deal. It's easier than ever before to read the Word, and yet harder than ever before, all at the same time. That means we have all kinds of opportunity to read. This phone right here, I've got every version of the Bible possible all in this smartphone right here. Not carrying a coffee table, you know, 4-pound book. I've got it all right here on my phone. I can hit one button and play the Word of God in my car with all the speakers in surround. I can just go down the road. How often do you do that, Pastor Darrell? Never. So we have more apps and access than ever before, but we have no time or patience. We've got more accessibility to the Word of God than we've ever had, but we don't take the time to learn and to grow and to allow the Word to speak to us. Habakkuk said, I got to get in a high place and I've got to wait. I've got to look to see what God said. And then the Lord answers him. He said, I want you, number four, to write. I want you to write. I want you to write. I want you to journal. I want you to diary. I want you to vlog to yourself. I want you to type into your phone. I want you to do something where you remember what it is that I am speaking to you. If we don't write it down, we lose it. My memory used to be so good. It frustrates me a lot today because my friends, they laugh at me. They say, you have the memory of a steel trap. You can remember crazy details. It's wonderful with friends and terrible with your wife to have such a good memory. My memory was so good. I traveled for years. I never preached with notes. I've got lots of notes up here today helping me, but I preached for years, messages like these, and never used a note. I literally started disciplining myself to use notes because I wanted to have something to pass down to my kids, something in my legacy to give to ministry sons or daughters. And so I trained myself to start getting stuff on paper, but I would study something in and it would be in my brain. My memory was strong enough, but what has become frustrating now is because I have a thought or I have an idea or I hear God say something to me and I think, I'm not going to forget that. That was so powerful. That was so strong. That was so real. There's no way, Carrie, I would ever forget that. And 6 hours later, I'm going, what? Wait a minute. Where was I 6 hours ago? Why does it feel like something happened that I said I was never going to forget and I cannot remember it? And then I'm going, oh God, I'm sorry, please give it back to me. So that's what the Lord tells Habakkuk. I want you to write. I want you to journal. I want you to get a notepad on your phone. All of these phones have an area. We all like to text and type. Just put it in. Do something. Email it to yourself. Kristen loves to, she's a list person. She's got notebooks all over her life. She needs a notebook to tell her where all the notebooks are, but constantly writing things and making notes, and I don't want to forget this. I don't want to lose this thought. There's power in writing something down. That's why I encourage you to take notes, and because you're going to want this again. You're going to need this again. This is valuable. You're going to want to look back on this at some point. So he said, I want you to write this, and that leads us to number five. That word is review. Review. Because when I review, I'm reminding myself and God, Lord, this is what you told me. This is what you said you were going to do in my life. This is the way you promised this was going to happen. I'm reviewing this because it builds my faith. Have you ever gotten discouraged waiting? Have you ever felt like, man, this is not working and I get discouraged? But if I can review, wait a minute, let me go back and see what it is that God said. So let me ask you, that's the practical. That's how you can process this and work through this in your life. And I hope you find that helpful. But let me ask you this question this morning. What are you seeing now? What's happening? I've given you what you can do with it, but what are you seeing now? And we need to spend some time with this question because it's important. And we need to get beyond our eyes. And we need to start seeing with our heart and our spiritual eyes. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of this glorious inheritance in his holy people. Get beyond my natural eyes and get into that dream state. Get into that place where I can imagine and I can see beyond my reality. I can get out there in the supernatural where God lives, because he's outside of time. He's outside of my reality. And he's saying, look, I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. Because it's going to make a difference in your life. Look at someone beside you and tell them it's time for you to dream again. It's time for you to dream again. Let me take a moment just to look at this old story in 2 Kings chapter 3. If you want to follow along, I don't know that I'm going to read all of it as much as I may just refer to it and but I think it's on the screen if you want to follow. But it's the story of the king of Israel who set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And they did so because they knew that God had called them to team up. Three kings, three powerful kings, to team up and to go after their enemy. But they get out there with all of their men. They get out there with all of their armies, and things are not going the way they want them to go. They have no more water for themselves or for the animals. And so finally, the king of Israel says, what? Has the Lord called us three kings together only to hand us over to Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord through him? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the Lord is with him. So they're out there. They have no water. Their men are dying. Their animals are dying. They're supposed to be this mighty army going after Moab to defeat it. But they're out there weak and busted up and broken. And so they say, hey, it's time for us to get spiritual. It's time for us to, is there not a prophet somewhere? And someone says, well, you probably haven't heard of this new guy, Elisha. But he used to serve Elijah, and everybody's heard of Elijah. But maybe we could send for Elisha. And Jehoshaphat says, oh yeah, if he's got prophet in front of his name, the Lord is with him, bring him. I want to hear what he has to say. And so they come to Elisha, and Elisha says, what do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father, the prophets of your mother. And Elisha, he's challenging their way of thinking. He's saying, why did you wait to come to me when all hell broke loose in your life? Why are you waiting to get spiritual when everything is falling apart in your life? He's trying to teach them, look, you need to have some kind of consistent relationship, and you ought to have a prophet in your life that you know and that you are in relationship with. So why don't you go to one of them? And Jehoshaphat is forced to admit, I don't have that. I don't have that person in my life, so I'm wanting to talk to you. And so Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you. He's saying, if this were not for the office that you hold, I respect the office that you hold, but otherwise I wouldn't fool with this right now. Elisha is frustrated. He doesn't like the circumstance that he's being put in. But look at what he says. All of that is just backstory so that you can understand 2 Kings 3 and 15. Elisha says, but now bring me a harpist. Bring me a harpist. Joanne, come to your harp, your instrument, and see if we can kind of describe how this works. Elisha is feeling all of these emotions, and Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, and these other kings, there's tension in the room, and they're needing a word from the Lord, and Elisha's saying, I don't have a word for you, and I don't know what it is. And so he said, bring me a harpist, and there you go. Yeah. It's amazing when you hear that sound, everything just sort of calms down. Everything just sort of settles down. Suddenly, not as much emotion toward these unruly kings or these men who have gotten off track spiritually. Suddenly, the Bible said that while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. I'll stop playing for just a moment. If I tell you today, hey, God wants to do something in your life, and God is great, and it doesn't matter what you're facing, God is able to bring you through it. But now listen. Play that again. Hey, it doesn't matter what you're facing in your life. You feel the difference? Doesn't matter what you're going through. God is able to bring you out. You're like, well, I like that second part better. I like that better. That feels right. You know what that tells me? That tells me that, number one, dreams are birthed in God's presence. This is important. It's impossible to get a dream for your life if you're not in the presence of God. And don't bring me Bill Gates, and don't bring me some of this guy was successful and he didn't know anything. Listen, I'm talking about your life. You're not Bill Gates. Just stop for a moment. If you have that kind of money, I need to see you after church. Talk to you. And I need my harpist to come with me. Gonna be a real important meeting. Dreams are birthed in God's presence. I need to get active in the presence of God. And here at the church, we use music for a purpose. It prepares us. Man, the way our team led today, they were anointed and energy, and there was power coming from this stage out into the people, and we were feeling it, and we were feeding off of one another, and God is moving and working. We use me because it prepares us. And yet I turned around and saw people arriving at the end of worship. And I'm not judging that. I will be pastor and challenge you to get up earlier, to do whatever it takes to get to the house of God. If you're just late because of tradition, or that's just, you know, the church I was raised in, everybody was late. We just got there for the most important part, the Word. No, you're missing it. Because the Word is not the most, the whole service is the most important part. Everything is the most important part. And when I've been in that season of worship, when I've been in that time of worship, it prepares me to hear what it is I need to hear so that God can do what it is that He wants to do in my life. You better play to soften that up just a little bit, because doesn't that feel better? If she's playing that and I say, come on, be on time. Get in here for the worship. Because God can break up the fallow ground, because dreams are birthed in the presence of God. And then the next verse, 2 Kings 3 and 16. This is what the Lord says. Make this valley full of ditches. That's what the Lord told Elisha. That's what Elisha said to the kings. All of the men of the army said, you need to start digging ditches. And the kings are like, wait a minute. We came to you needing water, not needing ditches. We're broken. We're depleted. We have no energy. We're dying of thirst. We need rain to fall. It's not what God said. He said to dig ditches. You know why? Because your miracle is usually preceded by an act of obedience. I feel God in this room. What is it that God is asking us to do? It leads us to number two. Number two, dreams go from inspiration to participation. Remember last week I said at some point you have to wake up and you have to do it. You have to wake up and you have to perform it. You have to wake up and you have to do what it is that God is calling you to do. Because it's one thing to have a dream and to write that down and to get all kinds of satisfaction, the fact that God is giving you dreams and showing you things. But if you're not becoming doers of the word, then he said, I'm missing it. So I go from inside, I'm inspired, but then I've got to participate in the good things, the God things. The good things, the God things, they won't just happen in my life. I've got to go after them. Verses 17 and 18, 2 Kings chapter 3. For this is what the Lord says. Notice this, this is powerful. You will see neither wind nor rain. Immediate discouragement among the kings that are thirsty. What? We're not going to see wind or rain? Yet this valley will be filled with water. And you and your cattle and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. You see, sometimes we're obedient to what God tells us to do, and we dig ditches, and then he says, I'm not going to let it rain. No wind. We had some storms here the other night, and you could hear the wind and could see the evidence the next morning of limbs that were down and signage that was messed up. I mean, there was evidence. We knew a storm was coming by evidence of the wind. The skies turned black. And he's saying, you know what? You're going to dig ditches, and you're not going to see any of that. There's going to be no wind. There's going to be no rain. And yet, the valley, every ditch that you dug is going to be full of water. Because my word will not return void. And your obedience will not go unrewarded. If you will do what I'm asking you to do, God, I'm going to make sure that you have what you need in your life. Number three. I'm telling you, church, we're going somewhere. I, as sure as I stand here, I know the devil is busy. I know there's all kinds of things to be distracted with. I know there's all kinds of little this and little that. Hear me, we're going somewhere. Going somewhere. But you need to hear number three, dreams. Dream, continue. Regardless of what is seen. Dreams continue regardless of what is seen. That tells me I need to keep dreaming regardless of what I'm currently seeing in my life. It may look like I'm surrounded. You know, when you sing the first line of that song, it may look like I'm surrounded. I'm not thinking I'm surrounded by angels or miracles or powerful things. Others saying, it looks like I'm surrounded by devils and trouble and crisis and pain and problems and issues and calamity and challenges. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm really surrounded by you. It may look like I've got every challenge against me. It may look like I've got every reason to fear, every reason to falter, every reason for my faith to fail. I may look out and see one problem, issue, crisis after another, but the reality is, the super reality, the beyond what my eyes can see, what I see through the eyes of my heart, is that I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. So I'm going to dream regardless of what I see. I'm going to believe God regardless of what I see. I'm going to trust God in spite of what I see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Oh Lord, as soon as you let me see it, I'll believe. No. We're going to keep doing this dance until you get it down in your spirit to say, Lord, I believe, I believe, I believe. I know I don't see it right now, but I see a packed church in multiple services. I see a packed church debt-free. I see a church that's making inroads into this community and making a difference. We got 32 acres, and I see transitional housing for single moms. I see breakthrough development. I see what God wants to do. It may look like I'm surrounded by everything that says no and everyone that says it's impossible, but I'm surrounded by you. I'm surrounded by the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. If there's anybody in this room today, you ought to stand on your feet to say, you know what? This is how I'm going to fight my battle. I'm going to do it with faith. I'm going to do it with worship. I'm going to do it with praise. I'm going to believe, believe, believe in the God who said all things are possible. Woo! You know what? If the devil knows you're easily distracted, then he'll come up with every distraction. If he knows you get off track easily, then man, he'll just keep bending those tracks. Gotta stay focused, because in the last days, I'm gonna pour out my spirit, and I'm gonna give sons and daughters visions, and I'm gonna give old men dreams. That's why we need every generation in this house. I don't need retired senior citizens to unplug and say, oh, that's for the young people. That's for those that have strength. No, I need you dreaming dreams. I need you seeing things are possible. I need you pushing the young that have the energy that you no longer have. I need you dreaming dreams to say, come on, church youth, whatever you want to do, let's go after it in God. Let's see what God can do. Young and old, it doesn't matter. Everyone is seeing the possibilities of God. Everyone is imagining how great God can be and how powerfully he wants to move. This is how I fight my battle. So this is what I want you to do while you're standing today. Closing. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes. I'm asking you to dream for a moment. We don't have time for a nap. We don't have pillows or blankets. It's just, what does your spirit see? Dream for a moment. What do you see for your family? What do you imagine for your marriage? What are you dreaming for your finance? Get beyond natural eyes. Get spiritual eyes for the things that are happening in your life. Maybe you feel like something is missing. While your eyes are closed, let me talk to you for just a moment. Maybe you feel like something is missing. Pastor Darrell, I don't feel like I can dream because I've got this unresolved stuff. My dream is a nightmare. My dream is scary. My mind is cluttered with junk and stuff, and I need deliverance. I need help. I want to dream God-honoring dreams. Dreams that are big enough and God enough for my life. And if you feel like something's missing, I want to pray for you today. I want you to pray with me today. If that's you, if you feel like something's missing, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, or if it's been a long time since you've made a commitment to Him and stuck with it, lived it, walked it out, your purpose, your calling, I want you to pray with me today. I'd love for everyone, and you're going to hear the person beside you. Don't worry about them. Just pray this today from your heart. Say, Jesus, I want you to let me dream again. I want you to let me believe again. My mind is cluttered with junk. But I'm through with the nightmare of sin, the nightmare of addiction, the nightmare of unbelief. Today I believe. I know you died on the cross for me. You shed your blood so that I could be set free. Today I receive that. Today I accept that. Today I say yes to salvation in you. In Jesus' name, amen.